Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Jesus said, "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." We pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I read something this summer, and it's kind of been bugging me ever since. Before you think it's anything too epic or a good book, what I read was on a coffee mug. But this mug was so vexing that I couldn't quite shake it. So what is it about this mug? Well, I got it after I had donated my car to charity, a place that gives it to people in need to get to work and stuff, obviously. And so I had this, was going to donate this car. Well, part of it is, though I wanted to help out, I had just gotten a hand-me-down car from my mom. I know I'm a little old at 34 to be getting a hand-me-down car, but you know, when you're the preacher boy of the family, people sometimes give you stuff. It's kind of the perk of, you know, seminary recruitment day, you know. So I had this extra car. So I had my old car that was still workable, and I was going to donate it. And I also have a long-standing phobia of car dealerships. And I'm sorry if your mom or dad owns a dealership, but I just always feel like I'm going to get ripped off. So I try to avoid them like the plague. So I obviously wasn't going to try to like trade it in or something for 50 cents. So I went, I donated it, and after I had all the paperwork or whatever was processed, I got this mug. And as I was walking home, it just kept bugging me. Of course, I was walking because I donated the car, so I had a long walk to think about this mug. And let me show you what this mug said. It says, "I made someone's life better" on it. That's what I couldn't shake. I show it to you to show it's not like a metaphorical mug that lives inside us all. It's an actual mug that happened. And it bugged me. And I started thinking, what is it about this mug that's so problematic? You know, is it like I'm going to debate the mug? Did I not make someone's life better? Is this car going to be bad for them? What was it about that mug? And I was like, just don't think about it. Don't let the mug get inside your head. But I was in a quandary. I stopped using the mug because I didn't want to think about it. But then I'm like, why am I not using this mug? And I can't just throw away the mug and hide the evidence because that's going to fill a landfill somewhere. So I feel super guilty about it. What is it about I made someone's life better that's going to be so problematic for me? Actually, I think the answer is in the text this morning. Jesus talks about good deeds, and he does it in such a way that is like, what good deed is going to stand up to what Jesus just said in these words? I think that is what bugged me about the mug. Is it, someone probably just slapped it on there to be nice, and I'm sure it's a nice organization and all that, but it just, yeah, I don't know. Can what we do stand up to the scrutiny of what Jesus says, this utter selflessness, not seeking a reward, not seeking gratification, whatever good that we do? I mean, Jesus is just soul-crushingly straightforward that if we do good and we're in it for ourselves in even the slightest way, that we shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back for that, that that's not really good in the end. And listen to what he says. Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. That's not natural for us. That's not really what we do. We are probably usually somewhat good to the people that like us. That's, of course, natural. But what about when someone is our enemy? And, of course, maybe we feel like we're nice people and we don't have actual enemies. Like, okay, well, what if there's just someone that we just don't like slightly as much? We don't treat them quite as well, do we? Sometimes we're not as kind to them. Maybe we can be slightly bullyish to people, maybe passive-aggressive to them. I think when it comes right down to it, though we might not want to admit that we have enemies, we kind of subtly do have enemies, and there's some people we just don't treat as well as our friends. And that is what the non-Christian world around us does too. So we ask ourselves, yeah, what credit is that to me if we treat enemies like enemies and friends like friends? And what it also shows is that even those people that we love and show kindness to, and even that is to some extent selfish. We often do good to people because they do good to us, or we expect that back from them. That's not really anything special in the end. We secretly want kindness back in return. So we do kind of have this reward seeking that Jesus speaks against, whether it's the subtle reward of, oh, I'll have friends and people will be nice back to me, or whether it's the, maybe I'll get favors back, people will treat me nicely, maybe I want people to like me, or maybe even the, I'll have good feelings if I do this good for other people. And yeah, am I going to speak against having good feelings? Yeah. The thing about feelings like that is, if I do good because I feel good and have satisfaction in it, haven't I just ignored where I should find my source, my consolation, because it's no longer in my identity and status with God above. It's in doing things to get good feelings. So I hope it's clear that, yeah, this mug is kind of a problem, because I realized I couldn't shake the feeling it didn't justify my deed as good, and that nothing good that we do to the outside, even that seems really good, can really hold up to the scrutiny, the purity, the selflessness that Jesus is talking about here in this text. So does this text offer any comfort for us? It's really harsh. I guess it depends on if you're ungrateful and evil, because Jesus says that God is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. I've just argued that we are unthankful and evil. And think about it this way. Why does Jesus have these harsh demands? What's the model for this? What's he pulling off of to say that we shouldn't do good to seek a reward? Isn't that how God himself rolls? That he did so much good for us, and he does not seek a reward. So even in these harsh kind of law-like demands, where he says to be good, not seeking a reward, even in these, we can find a certain comfort, because he's using himself as a model. And if he is the model, that means that he does not seek rewards from us, and that what he does is selfless and totally by grace for us. And that is a great comfort, because we were God's enemies. And God could have sat up in heaven and just wiped us off of the face of the earth, and he would have been just to do that. But out of his great love, that is not what he wanted. That God, in the person of Christ, came down, lived here on this earth, because he didn't want us to be enemies. He wanted us to restore us to himself as friends. He loved us as enemies. And you know what? He doesn't ask for a reward. He doesn't meet us halfway and say, no, I've done some good for you now. Do a favor. Do good works back to him. No, it's purely grace. So that when we look at his life, he showed his pure kindness, living selflessly to overcome those sins of selfishness that we have. He died on the cross so that the guilt, the sin, the payment that should have been on us would go on him and be wiped clean instead, so that we would be totally restored and see ourselves not as friends with God, not as enemies with God, but as friends with him instead. That is the great comfort, his great generosity. There's one more thing I got to clear up about this text too. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Now, it might seem odd, because he just said, don't do things for stuff in return, don't seek a reward, but then he kind of makes it sound like, am I not seeking a reward so that I actually get a better reward? But it's not that Jesus forgot that he just told us not to seek a reward, and then he's just going to go ahead and say, seek a reward, this other kind of reward. He's Jesus after all. He didn't forget what he just said. His point is that we don't have any reward to seek in this earth, because everything we truly need is taken care of by him, that he has done what we truly need. Like with his resurrection, he's conquered death for us. He's conquered the great problem and obstacle of our life. He's opened the gates of heaven itself for us. He's worked faith in our hearts so that we live this life not in hopelessness and meaninglessness, but knowing that we have a place in heaven with him. And as he talks about being called sons of the Most High, it is enough and satisfying to know that we are his dear children. We don't need to do good works because there's anything left to earn with them. It's all pure thankfulness. There's nothing, no reward left. He gives by self-giving grace. All those earthly things don't last, and they're not meaningful in the end compared to the meaning that we find in being sons of the Most High, compared to the status of living each day knowing that we have heaven itself thanks to Christ and his work. So our lesson really has shown what a great comfort it is to do good and not seek a reward. On the one hand, we've seen our weakness, that we're not very good at doing good without seeking some sort of reward. And for that, we rejoice that God forgives us for that. We've also found a great comfort that the model for this is Christ himself. And so he has done so much good for us. And there is no earning, no working our way to him, because he has done it out of his self-giving nature. What's left to seek? What else do we really need? So when I was bugged by this mug, I started thinking, well, if I were a graphic design person, what would I put on this mug? What would be the ideal thing to have on a mug like this? And I wondered, what would Jesus put on a mug if he were into that sort of thing? But I ask you this. What would you put on that mug? I think you know. Amen.